Good morning, everyone. I would like to call the Administration Committee to order for Wednesday, April 8, 2015. I'd like to confirm the quorum.
Yes, we have a quorum.
Great. Thank you. Item number two is our consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
Second. Motion.
We have a motion and a second. Motion by Campus, second by Rainworth. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. Item number three is MTC Resolution Number 4183, which is the Fiscal Year 2015-16 Overall Work Approval Program, Planning Certification, and Authorization for Execution of Agreements for Federal Planning Grants. Brian.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Brian Mayhew. I work in finance. The good thing about this document, as big as it is it's a it says final. That's the last thing this is final. This is basically the grant application for the planning funds that we go through every year. This process will start somewhere in the fall where they will give us an estimate of our revenue. In January, we'll have a meeting with the federal agencies, and they will go over all of the detail in here in every one of these work items to let you know whether you're doing them right or wrong and what you're adding and subtracting. Then we will put money to them, and then after that process, we will send it to them. They will then send it back to us with comments and what you see as well, all of their comments and everything incorporated in one document. Planning-wise, it's about just a little under $15 million, roughly the same as last year. This is the and this constitutes the bulk of the planning, transportation planning funds we will use next year. Relatively, after that's done, you actually get to see this again because then gets incorporated into your operating budget at MTC. And then, of course, every grant and contract comes back and gets approved. And then because our cycles are different from the federal government, we will see you sometime in the fall to amend the budget to get this correct to the real 15 numbers. And with that, it really is all of the detail in there. You'll note that it goes through a very exacting process. We file a quarterly report on it. The feds and the state spend a great deal of time making sure that we do what we say we're going to do and that our funding sources are what they say what they're going to be. The important thing is that once this is done, the feds will get it back to us and the state will get it back to us in time for us to get it into the budget, because until they sign it and send it back to us, we actually can't bill on it. So that's $14 million that we have to start working on July 1. And so the important thing is we have to get this to them. Aside from that, relatively the same amounts of money as last year. You'll see many parts of this again many times, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Brian. Are there any questions for Brian? Okay, seeing none, is there a motion to approve or disapprove? What is the pleasure?
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Motion by Rainworth, second by Campus. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that item passes. We'll move on to item number four, which is the bike share expansion proposal with Motivate International Incorporated. Alex, are you going to share with us?
Yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Alex Bockelman, Deputy Executive Director for Policy. Before you today for consideration is a public-private partnership approach to expand the bike share program by tenfold to 7,000 total bikes over the next 2.5 years. Next slide. I'll begin with a quick recap of the Bay Area Bike Share pilot program before outlining the proposed terms of a proposal by Motivate International and key approval steps should the committee want to move forward. I did want to note that Damian Breen, Deputy Executive Officer for the Bay Area Air Quality Management District, is here with us today. And as you know, the Air District is the current sponsor of the Bike Share program. In addition, Justin Ginsburg, Vice President of Business Development for Motivate International, is here as well. So what is bike share? For those of you who haven't tried out the system here or somewhere else in the world, it's a fleet of shared bikes that are available for checkout at self-served kiosks. And the pricing and types of bikes make it appropriate for short trips, either last mile from transit or other short journeys that people want to take. Next slide. In terms of the pilot program, the Bay Area Bike Share pilot program launched in August of 2013 under the leadership of the Air District and in collaboration with many participating cities. It includes 700 bikes and 70 stations in 5 cities. The cities include San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, and Mountain View. The table on this slide shows the estimates of what has been spent of the roughly $11 million that was set aside in federal, regional, and local funds for the program. Some of the unspent funds were intended for the addition of 300 bikes to expand the pilot. However, a bike equipment supplier bankruptcy in 2013-14 put that expansion on hold. Next slide. In the first 18 months, the system provided nearly 500,000 trips for casual and annual members around in all the cities. San Francisco riders accounted for about 90% of the use, even though the kiosks in that city represent just about 50% of the total. And in a report prepared by ICF International on the MTC Climate Initiatives Program, the Bike Share Pilot Program is estimated to have reduced emissions by 80 tons in the first year and replaced drive-alone trips for 12% of the trips. So, next slide. In terms of, you know, what we've been up to and the plans for expansion, during 2014, there were several actions and many activities gearing up for expansion of the system. Additional funds were awarded for the system expansion through federal and state sources. New cities were identified in the East Bay and San Mateo, as well as expansion of some of the pilot cities. The system was to have grown to a total of 2,500 bikes. A strategic plan was under development, and a working group of staffs of the Air District, MTC, and the existing pilot cities and expansion cities were meeting regularly. The strategic plan was evaluating several topics, including potential governance models, bike share suitability among cities in the region, equity, and operating subsidy requirements. In addition, MTC and the Air District recommended that each agency assume a different role in the implementation of the bike share and the EV programs. And under that proposal, the Air District was to take the lead in the EV infrastructure program and MTC to take the lead in the bike share program, harnessing each of the agency's skills and expertise. Next slide. At the same time, the industry was undergoing major changes. The dominant model for early major U.S. bike share programs involved public ownership of equipment with a private operator. In New York, a private operator agreed in 2013 to provide 6,000 bikes at no public cost in return for retaining sponsorship and advertising rights to the equipment. And this demonstrated that a full-scale bike share program at no public cost is feasible. There were also changes in the vendor-operator side of the business. Alta, the largest U.S. vendor-operator and the successful bidder for the Bay Area Bike Share Pilot Program, was unable to provide bikes to customers for most of 2014 because of a bankruptcy in the equipment supplier. In addition, in October of 2014, Motivate International Incorporated, a company backed by the related companies and Equinox Holdings, purchased Alta. Motivate restructured its corporate office, took over operations for each Alta system, and created its own supply chain for producing bikes. Motivate is the largest bike share operator with over 17,000 bikes in North America. So in late 2014, Motivate made an unsolicited proposal to MTC and select Bay Area cities to be the exclusive supplier and operator of bike share in the Bay Area at no public cost, following the New York City model. As I noted at the outset, the proposal is a tenfold increase to 7,000 total bikes. The breakdown of bikes by city reflects Motivate's initial system planning based on expected ridership demand, with the highest concentration of bikes in San Francisco at 4,500 bikes, followed by San Jose at 1,000, and then with another over 1,000 bikes in the East Bay. It is important to note, as the letters before you do highlight, that the current proposal doesn't continue three of the peninsula pilot cities and one planned expansion city. Next slide. In terms of the schedule, For the cities, getting bikes deployed as soon as possible has been a top priority. The term sheet in the proposal for Motivate calls for 25% of the bikes in each of the cities being installed by June of 2016, getting to 40% by October of 2016, 70% by April of 2017, and 100% by November of 2017. The timeline requires permitting and approval of sites by the cities 6 months before these installation dates. In terms of the term, the proposed term is 10 years, but could be reduced to 5 years if Motivate does not achieve the installation deadlines listed in the table for each of San Francisco, East Bay, and San Jose, or if there is persistent and material breach of contract. Another important feature of the proposal and term sheet are performance requirements. It is in MTC's interest to ensure that an expanded bike share system meets key performance indicators. The term sheet includes expectations in 5 key performance areas, including rebalancing requirements, bicycle availability, station deactivation, removal, relocation, station and bike maintenance and cleanliness, website and call center functionality. There would also be liquidated damages in case of failure and an option to declare default if these performance indicators are consistently immaterial in breach. There would also be a security fund of $250,000 under MTC's control to ensure performance by Motivate, and it would be replenished if it's needed to be drawn upon. under this proposal, in exchange for providing a major expansion in all required O&M of this bike share system, Motivate would own all bike share equipment and would retain sponsorship and advertising rights on physical and digital assets subject to local restrictions. MTC would have approval rights over title sponsorship and branding and would consult with participating cities in determining approval. The term sheet also includes provisions for MTC to share in system revenues, both user and sponsorship, but the sharing of sponsorship revenue lags until year 5. Another important provision in the term sheet is related to additional buy-in from other cities. In terms of the existing pilot cities, the term sheet calls for cities other than San Francisco and San Jose that want to continue and or expand existing system operations to engage in negotiations with Motivate to develop a new service agreement using public funds. In terms of other cities or beyond the pilot cities, or if San Francisco or if one of the cities in the proposal wants to expand beyond that, it also calls for the ability to contribute public funding and for Motivate to enter into good faith negotiations for a cost for doing so. Next slide. The term sheet also includes provisions to support low-income and limited English proficiency membership efforts through pricing and station siting. There's a 60% discount for low-income members with a proposed cost of up to $60 annually or $5 per month. MTC staff has identified PG&E's CARE program, a utility discount program for households that make less than twice the federal poverty level, as a program that could determine eligibility for this discounted membership. In addition, the term sheet also calls for Motivate to work with cities to place at least 20% of the stations in communities of concern. Next slide. So MTC staff is recommending entering into a sole source agreement with Motivate for a number of compelling business reasons. First, Motivate's proposed system is a much larger expansion than was anticipated through the public procurement process at no public cost for initial capital or ongoing operations and maintenance. Also, getting the bikes out there quickly, sort of this big bang strategy, has resulted in much stronger usage than with expanding in phases, and that's been demonstrated in other parts of the country, such as Chicago and Washington, D.C. Second, the pre-project and ongoing administrative burden and cost of a fully private system will be significantly reduced in regards to procurement development, consultant needs, contract administration, permitting, and marketing. Finally, Motivate brings the most bike share business experience in the country and gives MTC a chance to deploy a new public-private partnership model for a transportation system mobility option that was included in Plan Bay Area with only using private funds. Motivate's business model also means that the contractor is very motivated, we'll say, to increase ridership while following our key performance indicators. The potential disadvantage of such an approach of an exclusive private bike share vendor and operator is less control over the direction and execution of the system. MTC staff recommends mitigating this potential disadvantage with carefully designed contract terms and key performance indicators. Next slide. If the Commission wants to pursue this new model for bike share expansion, several key implementation steps must occur. The Air District must close out the federal pilot project and transition the program to MTC. MTC will need to negotiate a final agreement with Motivate and an intergovernmental agreement with the cities to effectuate the terms of the Motivate agreement and to clarify individual responsibilities. Finally, there will be a significant coordination between MTC, participating cities, and Motivate on permitting, advertising, sponsorship, and outreach. And the timing goal to hit the June 2016 for initial rollout of expansion bikes calls for the first two steps to occur by the end of July. So staff is proposing a two-month approval process, as this is a rather unique proposal that you have in front of you, and it needs the appropriate time for outreach and discussion. Therefore, if the committee forwards this item to give the executive director authority to enter into a contract with Motivate to the commission for approval, it would be the May commission meeting rather than the April commission meeting. This extended schedule also allows time to seek approval from the Air District Mobile Source Committee in late April and full board in early May to transition the bike share pilot program to MTC for the expansion. And that concludes my presentation. I would be glad to answer questions.
Thank you, Alex. Are there any questions? Yes, Doreen.
Excuse me, Doreen Giacopini, U.S. Department of Transportation representative. I would like to see some consideration of, in connection with a project like this, an analysis as I think I've mentioned to folks before in other contexts, a program similar to what is done in Great Britain called Shop Mobility, which allows, which provides for scooters, you know, electric scooters for people who need to get from point A to point B but can't ride a bike and can't walk. I'm thinking, you know, as we baby boomers get older and older, this needs to happen, and I'm wondering to what extent this could help with that goal.
Commissioner Giacopini, I'm not familiar with the Great Britain program, but I will certainly look into it. I think the proposal from Motivate doesn't include that. I think it would be a pretty different proposal, but I think we could also look at whether another program along those lines could make sense. But that isn't the proposal that is before us from Motivate today.
Mike?
If I could ask one follow-up question, it just occurred to me that that we're talking here about all regular bicycles, and are there any plans for modified bicycles to be used by people who, you know, like tandem bikes for people who have visual impairments, hand cycles for people who need to use their arms, that sort of thing? I just want that to remain on the table and to be considered through this process.
Thank you.
Let me ask, would the commission like to hear the public comments first before their comments, or would you like to say a few words? Okay, why don't we do that? I have a couple cards. If anyone else wishes to address this committee, please fill out one of these cards and hand it in. We'll start with Tyler Frisbee, followed by Jessica Manzi.
Good morning, Council. My name is Tyler Frisbee. I'm the Policy Director at the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. We are so excited to have to hear that you're considering this contract. When BikeShare launched in San Francisco, it was met with an overwhelming wave of excitement and then the immediate question of what's next and why don't I have BikeShare near my house or why don't I have it near my office? Why is it in such a small area of downtown? And we've seen in other cities, in D.C., in New York, in Chicago, the huge impact that BikeShare has had in making these systems accessible to people and in providing a affordable and environmentally friendly and healthy transportation option for people throughout the city. Recent research from the University of Chicago Business School shows that there are two critical pieces for a successful bike share system. The average, you need to have at least two trips a day per bike in order to have a successful and thriving system, and you want to have at least one bike share station every two blocks. In San Francisco, we've met the first criteria. We're averaging about two trips a day per bike, but we certainly do not have the saturation density, and we believe that this contract will help ensure that we can meet both of those criteria for a successful program. We're also thrilled and really appreciate the thought that went into addressing equity issues and access issues. There are a lot of neighborhoods in San Francisco where this is going to be a game changer for people. They haven't had a place to store their bike, so they don't own one. They move around a lot, and so that those sort of issues are really difficult for them, and providing a low-cost option for them and an efficient, affordable way to get to work will be a huge improvement in their life. We look forward to having further conversations with MTC around the previous funding sources and how those monies will be allocated in the future. But for today, we just want to express our excitement and thank the Commission for taking these steps forward to provide an affordable, environmentally friendly, and healthy transportation option for people.
Thank you. Jessica Manzi or Manzel?
Good morning, Commissioners. Jessica Manzi. I'm with the City of Redwood City. I'm their Senior Transportation Coordinator. Motivate's proposal to expand bike sharing could be an extraordinary opportunity to establish bike share as a meaningful transit system in the Bay Area. We share MPC's enthusiasm and support moving ahead with negotiations to expand the system. Because we only learned of Motivate's proposal on April 2nd, we are unable to provide detailed input at this time. However, we encourage MTC to address the following points as you refine your term sheet and negotiate a contract with Motivate. First, identify how the key performance indicators and contract terms reflect lessons learned during the pilot program. Second, clarify what it means for Motivate to be the exclusive supplier and operator of bike share in the Bay Area. Smaller communities, universities, and other corporate campuses may find the cost to buy into this system cost prohibitive, requiring them to pursue a different system within their jurisdictions. Three, determine how the current pilot cities, those not selected for expansion, such as Redwood City, can preserve their public investment in the pilot. Fourth, identify the cost and process for the current pilot cities to buy into the system. And finally, identify the process by which Bay Area BikeShare members who live or use the system in Redwood City, Mountain View, and Palo Alto would be notified of its departure and when the system would be removed. Although the current BikeShare system in Redwood City has not been used as extensively as we would have liked, it's important to maintain our ability to participate in the system is preserved. Similarly, all Bay Area communities should be able to reap the benefits of bike sharing, where and when it may be appropriate, and the contract terms should reflect this. Thank you.
Thank you. Justin Ginsburg, followed by, I can't make out the first name, River or Rivera.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Justin Ginsburg. I'm the Vice President for Business Development from Motivate. Motivate is the largest bike share operator in North America, with over 17,000 bikes, including all major cities in North America, including Chicago, Washington, D.C., Boston, Seattle, and New York City. Motivate is backed by the principals of the Related Companies and Equinox Fitness. These companies are leaders in wellness and health and fitness, and also real estate development. Both companies have a long track record of public-private partnerships in the Bay Area, and they have the stability, the financial resources to really deliver what we think is a phenomenal program for the region. In addition, our CEO of Motivate, Jay Walder, has extensive experience in transit. He was the chairman of New York City's MTA, the CEO of Hong Kong's MTR, and had a senior leadership role in London's Tube. Jay Walder and our senior leadership team bring together traditional transit experience with 21st century transit, which we think is more flexible and personalized than your typical conventional transit systems. We have a really ambitious vision for San Francisco, but we believe the Bay Area has the potential to have the most successful bike-sharing system in North America. With a great climate, burgeoning bike infrastructure, strong mass transit, and vibrant, dense neighborhoods, we are confident that the expanded bike share system will be a transformative force to improve the quality of life in the region. Millions of people will have access to a new, affordable, sustainable, and healthy way to travel, and this will be provided at no cost to taxpayers. Equity is a really important consideration for Motivate, and that's a strong part of our proposal to the MTC. In New York City in particular, we piloted many successful equity programs, including discounted memberships, bike riding classes, helmet giveaways. These are things we're going to replicate here in San Francisco to make sure that the members reflect the diversity of the region. In addition, we try to hire as much as possible from local communities, including targeted populations like people with disabilities, veterans, people who have been long-term unemployed. We're going to be growing from 18 jobs to 125 jobs in the Bay Area, and we really look forward to working with local communities to find those new employees. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and I really look forward to working with MTC and our local partners to deliver a great bike share program.
Thank you.
Good morning. Renee Rivera, Executive Director of Bike East Bay. My apologies for the bad handwriting. Really delighted to be here this morning to, see you consider this proposal. As you know, many of you know, we've been advocating for bringing bike share to the East Bay for several years now. Our over 4,000 members ask us all the time, when is bike share coming to the East Bay? If you look at the current membership of Bay Area Bike Share, in fact, around 10% or more of members currently live in East Bay, mostly in Berkeley, Oakland, and Emeryville. So we really think these communities are ready to start using bike share. And this proposal brings 1,400 bikes at least to the East Bay by 2017, which is more than about twice as much as we had been talking about in the earlier funding scenario. So this is really great news for the East Bay. And we're also, as other people have commented, really pleased to see that the equity question of equity is being considered in this proposal. I think it's going to be crucial coming, especially to our communities in the East Bay, that it be accessible to all. So we look forward to working with Motivate and MTC on helping to facilitate the permitting process, on education and outreach. In particular, I really think this is going to be a great boost to our local economy in the East Bay, and I really look forward to helping to work with businesses around placement of pods near their businesses. Studies from Minneapolis have shown how much pods near businesses actually boost sales and revenues in those areas. So really looking forward to that additional impact for the East Bay. So thank you for considering this exciting proposal.
Thank you. Jane Kramer, followed by Alan Talansky, followed by Rick Hedges, followed by Amber Evans.
I have a question just so that a possible snag doesn't occur. These are motorbikes. They're electric, correct?
No.
No, they're not.
Just regular bicycles.
Just regular bikes. Okay. Was a concern. The other comment is Commissioner Giacopini. These bikes are workable for a whole bunch of us, but there are some of us who aren't going to be able to navigate the road on two wheels. And I've thought for a long time that using my aunt as an example, she bought a motor scooter and off she went All of a sudden, she's mobile. She wasn't before. So it's a different program than this, but it defines the rest of the folks who don't have any access to mobility, and you might look into that suggestion a little bit further. It's a different idea, a different program, and it takes different people, but they need things like a safe route to drive their motor scooter on and so on. It's just a thought.
Thank you. Alan Talansky, followed by Rick Hedges, followed by Amber Evans.
I think expanding public-private partnerships is always important. But in the negotiations of this program, communities that have planned on a bike share program for many months and many years were excluded. I understand from the commerce standpoint them wanting to take areas where the advertising would pay better. But what we've done in creating this program is cut out communities that are important to a bike share program, and a bike share program would be very important to them. And I think when we take away the economies of scale for 10 years of the whole Bay Area, we take away an advantage we can have for everyone in the Bay Area, the second ring communities, the peninsula communities. They clearly aren't included in this proposal. I think we need to renegotiate or negotiate a broader range of communities as part of this program. Without it, we're leaving important communities out in the growth of the bike share program. Thank you.
Thank you. Rick Hedges, followed by Amber Evans.
Good morning. Thanks for allowing me to speak. I want to take you back to a past event that happened to you, just for a little historic reference of how we feel in San Mateo. Remember when we were going forward with the airport connector and we were granted money from the administration for that, and all of a sudden that money was yanked away from us? It's a pretty empty feeling, wasn't it? Well, San Mateo feels that way about being excluded from the bike share program. San Mateo has been intimately involved with MTC on the active transportation program. We believed we were being granted money for the bike share program. We set up priority development areas before there were priority development areas through our corridor plan. We're driving nails on 3,000 houses right now near two train stations. We are actually exemplary of what we're trying to do in the overall Bay Area. We have three train stations within a mile of each other with different schedules. This bike share program could be used for people to access any train station they needed to access, yet we've been cut out of it. I'm saddened by that, and I think you should reconsider and include San Mateo. It just makes perfect sense. We are the model for doing things right. Thank you.
Thank you. Amber Evans.
Hi, I'm the Community Development Coordinator in the City of Emeryville, and we're just so delighted to be participating in the East Bay pod. One of the things we find particularly exciting is that our location gives you that balance of density and mixes of use that when you place them at transit stations, you come back to uses. But we're also very excited about the opportunity that new developments could buy into the system. And we'd like to see that that really gets worked out in some very tangible early ways so that we can get to the saturation of stations, since we're starting out with a smaller program. And also, I think one of the exciting things is we have a free employer PBID or property business improvement district that's funding a shuttle that really has increased demand and is looking for partnerships where we can get riders off transit. I know that's a little antithyme to our themes here, but I think that's a key metric of success is when we create additional capacity on transit by moving both bikes and people to other mobile sources, and then we can get more people on transit. So thank you so much for this proposal.
Thank you. That was the last of our speakers. I'm going to bring it back to the commission here. Commissioner Baker?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm very excited to see this expansion of bike share. I'm a big bike share guy. I enjoyed the bike shares last summer in Boston when I was there for a few weeks, and that it worked well. And people who don't have it around, like the cities where I am, were very excited to use it. I just think we can do better. I think that we can include some of these cities that had pilot programs that weren't fully completed. Palo Alto was due for a completion of their pilot program. And the next part would have included, and I think should include, Stanford, which would be a big boost to ridership for the program. It's a high priority, a target-rich environment for bike riders there at Stanford. Palo Alto also has invested something like $25 million in bike infrastructure. They're serious about doing bikes right, and they've invested some public funds in the pilot program. Mountain View scores well. You'll take a look at the chart in the staff report, and even if you take a look at the pure, you know, where a company making money off this kind of numbers, Mountain View does well on bike trips per day. They too were scheduled to have their pilot program completed, and then the next that pilot program would have included three sites in their North Bayshore area, where the Google headquarters is planned to be, where Intuit is, where Microsoft is, where there's a lot of opportunity to have bike shares do well. And I think though that it's important to keep in mind, even if Mountain View didn't score well, and even if some of the other cities who had pilot programs didn't do well in terms of making fully funded bike trips, I think that there are also MTC goals here that we can include in this. I think that we're an important region for bike share, and we need to include goals about communities for concern. And I'm glad to see that in there. Even if they aren't the most profitable stops, they're important for MTC goals. And I think also last-mile transit goals are important. And if we can have some stops, along the Caltrain corridor in Palo Alto, for instance, that don't score quite as well, but that incentivize longer transit trips and reduce GHG goals, I think that should be part of the overall package. I think we can do that. We're not talking about a lot of bikes, and we can have MTC goals and Motivates goals meet up together. I would like to say I hope the next couple months, and I'm going to support going forward. I hope that we can include going forward that we complete the pilot projects at least in some of the cities I've talked about, but also that during the next intervening months that MTC can do a little better job of talking to the cities who are having pilot, where we're talking about making changes. I think that there wasn't you heard the Redwood City folks talk about. They only found out about this on April 2nd, and that's the feedback I'm getting from some of the cities that I represent, too. And that's kind of tough, when you see expansion up here and there's not an asterisk that says, by the way, you guys are going away. And I think maybe we could benefit from some more discussion with those cities to see if there's ways we can make this work. Lastly, I am going to keep a close eye, and I think we all should, on what exclusive means, if we really are talking about Bay Area or just the cities that sign on, and if exclusive means that we couldn't try some things that make bikes more accessible, because I think we want to be really careful about what we're excluding in this contract.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Wiener? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
I did want to just clarify and maybe correct if I said it incorrectly. The exclusive operator in the five cities is what is contemplated in the terms, not throughout the whole Bay Area.
Thank you, Scott Wiener from San Francisco. first of all, I want to thank the staff for working on this. This is, I think it's incredibly exciting that we're going to get 7,000 bikes with at no cost to us, and not just the expansion and saturation in San Francisco, but finally bringing the East Bay in. I know from the very beginning we all wanted to make sure that Oakland is part of this, but it's not just going to be Oakland. It'll be Berkeley and Emeryville as well, and expanding in San Jose. And so this is a really good and unique opportunity to take a system that we started as a sort of small pilot and actually make it catch fire. And the way that you make it catch fire is to is sometimes as a step to look at the places where it's going to explode. We know it's exploded even with our inadequate system in San Francisco. I know it will explode in Oakland and the other cities as well. And nothing in here in any way precludes expanding into other cities where it's going to work. And, I think it would be phenomenal if we, over time build it out to include more and more cities. That's terrific. But I think right now we have before us a very unique opportunity to really kickstart this, because this was just, it's been languishing for a variety of reasons in terms of the previous vendor and the supplier that fell apart. And so, this, you know, having this then come back to say we're going to give you have 7,000 bikes quickly is really an amazing thing, and I hope that we will take this opportunity, understanding that we would all like to see it expand to other parts of the Bay.
Thank you, Commissioner Wiener. I'm going to work our way around here. I'd like to make a couple comments myself, if I may. You know, first off, I appreciate us going from 700 bikes to 7,000 bikes, but I guess the part I don't appreciate is, you know, all those that were in the pilot program are now going to be asked to pay to get back in and not be part of this overall program. And as Gene Mullen used to always call, San Mateo County was a flyover county, and it looks like we've done it again. When you look at cities like Redwood City, you look at cities like San Mateo, and I'm just speaking of San Mateo County at the moment, they are growing exponentially. If you look at the downtown in Redwood City, you've got Box going in, you've got Google. You look at San Mateo, they got Franklin Templeton and all kinds of new development and housing units. Redwood City just put in over 1,000 housing units. You know, these areas are really growing, and these were part of the initial pilot. And now we're talking about, you know, kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And it seems to me that Motivate is taking the gravy and not, you know, looking at maybe putting something back in for those that have potential for growth. We're giving the rights to sponsorships and advertising. My thought would be, you know, grandfather in all those that were part of the pilot, and there's plenty of potential for sponsorship and advertising in San Mateo County with all those large companies and tech companies that are there. So why not ask them to go out and get sponsorships in those counties to help pay for some of the bike share in those counties that already exist? Caltrain is bursting at the seams. If we could have bike share, we wouldn't have to have all those individuals take their own bikes on Caltrain, but would have bikes available when they get off in San Mateo, when they get off in Redwood City. And so I think we've really, you know, it's great to increase it, but don't leave those out that were part of the pilot that worked so hard to get it to where it is so you can see that there is potential and just turn it over to the large cities. Another thought, if that's where you want to go, reduce the numbers in those other cities and let those pilot individual cities have their rights to this as well. So I think for those that didn't want to get into the pilot, I get that you can't have everybody, but for those that have done the blood, sweat, and tears in our county and in Santa Clara County, I think they deserve the right to be part of that program. And I think to do this, you're actually punishing those cities that worked hard over the last 6 months or more and years to get this going. So I would suggest that in the next month or two, before this comes back to our commission on May 27th, that we look at possibilities in San Mateo County and perhaps Santa Clara County for sponsorships that can help with this as well and not just go to the easy spots. So that's my comment on this particular proposal. So,
I think they're first.
Commissioner Haggerty, I know you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I want to thank Damian Breen and the work of the Mobile Source Committee at the Air District. We've been working on this for several years now, and we constantly were yelling at Damian that he wasn't moving fast enough, and you know he was operating on a shoestring budget and trying to get this done. So I just wanted to acknowledge his hard work and the people at the Air District for really getting this thing going. Having said that, I for me, a couple questions have come up, and I do want to associate myself with the comments of Chair Tissier. I still struggle with this issue about, you know, I believe it's somewhere around $11 million has been spent in regional money to develop this bike program in the communities of, you know, the larger urban cores, which I get it. But in a way, it seems a bit unfair now to say, well, the rest of you are on your own. And I personally believe there still should be regional money available for these smaller communities to get the bike share program going. So as I was listening, and I was happy that Commissioner Tissier brought that up, but then your answer kind of got me, Alex, because, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at 150,000 additional bikes. I was listening to my colleague talk about why there should be bike share at Stanford. And I thought, wow, that's an excellent idea. And, you know, maybe Stanford will get part of those 150. And I'm thinking, you know, I have the largest trail, and it's not just Alameda County, but it runs through Contra Costa County and others. It's the Iron Horse Trail that runs from Martinez all the way to Fremont. And along that corridor, you have Bishop Ranch, and you have Hacienda Business Park and a lot of other business parks that people would love to ride BART to Pleasanton and then get off and ride their bike either up there and leave the bike, you know, somewhere around that area. So I'm thinking, well, that's cool. I'm going to get, maybe I can put a placeholder in on these 150 bikes like my other colleagues are. They're, you know, we're all starting to circle now, right? We want our bikes. But what I heard you say, and I just want to be clear, is my assumption based on an answer that you gave is those 150 bikes are really going to go back to those five cities. Is that correct? Because you did say that this sole source agreement is really for the five cities.
In terms of discussions to date, we've really been talking about the five cities. And one of the reasons it's important is because to identify the cities, they would have to be part of this intergovernmental agreement with us. And they would have to agree to basically grant exclusive rights to motivate. So they wouldn't be able to bring in another bike share vendor into the city. So we have been contemplating five cities. Obviously, I hear, you know, that there's a lot of questions about that and with kind of direction to look between now and May at sort of at least the pilot cities. But that's what we had been contemplating up until this point, that it would be the five cities.
Have we also engaged BART very much to ask them where they believe bikes could work in a situation such as this, to work with their commuters? Or has there been communication?
There's been communication, I believe, between the cities as part of, you know, the original pilot and the plan for expansion. There's been communication, I think, between the cities and the transit operators. But in terms of the detailed work that would have to happen between, you know, now and siting, I think there's a lot more work to happen there.
So, Alex, and just a final thought. How do you respond to the idea that maybe some of the smaller areas now that weren't part of the pilot project feel that there should be more money available down the road to help them get going, too? I mean, because I think that's hitting some sort of resistance here, if I'm hearing correctly.
Well, I think, you know, again, the reason that this proposal is so exciting is that it really does get to a level of density with bikes in areas that we think, you know, based on, you know, various parameters of those areas will be most successful in the next 2.5 years. And again, I think what we have tried to put together in the term sheet is making sure that we're not precluding other areas over time, either because they look to be more productive and motivate themselves wants to put bikes there, or if there's public money that can be added, then there could be bikes in other locations. Also, an ability for private money to be put in and bikes to be sited in on private property. So I think we're not trying to preclude that, but I think the important thing is that in order for bike share to work, it really needs to have densities in concentrated areas where we think we're going to get the ridership. And I think that's really important for the Bay Area in the near term. And then it seems after that, hopefully the sky's the limit in terms of this as a mobility option for the Bay Area.
Well, I'm not really quite sure that that answered my question, but, you know, we heard that each bike is generating about 2 trips in San Francisco right now a day. And sometimes I cringe when I'm going to the Air District and I see like a half full rack of bikes and I'm thinking, oh no, you didn't see that, you know, because we all want to see empty racks, right? I don't think that we should just assume that just because you're a large urban city that people in the suburbs and people at the end of line BART stations don't want to ride a bike to a business park that is down in that area. And I would submit to you that you might find, you know, just as much usage in some of these more suburban areas where there are the business parks. And I think that's why I brought up the question of how do you work with BART, because I think working with BART, you may find out what's happening with them and people getting off and want to ride. So, what I want to say is just, I guess, to wrap this up and move on, is I think this is a great project. I'm really happy we're to this point. I'm just as excited as everybody that, you know, as Commissioner Wiener is about the additional bikes he's getting and such. I'm totally excited about this. This is something that I've wanted to see. But I think maybe what you're dealing with is a program that is successful, that people want to see it in their community, and they're going to push. And I'm just going to say, as a commissioner, I'm not going to say, you know, after we get to this point, there's no more public money. The local jurisdictions are on their own to negotiate their own contracts and all that. I'm saying, as a commissioner, I want to continue to explore this, and I want to continue to invest in this, and I want to make it work not only for the urban cores, but for the end-of-line stations where there's business parks or where there's major universities or where there's labs like, you know, in Livermore and Berkeley and such. I want to have bikes available for those individuals and those entities also.
Commissioner Halstead, and then Commissioner Cortese, and then Luce. We'll just kind of go down this way.
I'll be quick. Obviously, there's a huge appetite for this, and I hope we can get as much as we can of as many different kinds. One issue that I have is the issue of helmets and whether or not there's any possibility of making them available, particularly in the places where there are a lot of visitors who are not prepared. I get very nervous seeing families biking around San Francisco without any helmets. I don't know what I've seen them in other cities in some places where they are rented, and I don't know if there's a way to include some availability when people are ready to use them.
Alex, did you want to answer, or do you want to look into that?
I believe, and Justin's probably better at answering this than I am, but I believe Motivate does work in one of the states that requires helmets, and so they do have to vend helmets. Anyway, so that there is provisions for that in other states, especially when there's a state law that requires helmet use. So there are opportunities for that. I mean, it's not contemplated right now as part of the term sheet, but I think that there are, you know, there are other areas that are doing that. So the technology is available.
I would just encourage us to think about it, particularly where people are doing on a kind of a one-off basis as visitors and aren't prepared to have their own helmets.
Commissioner Cortese?
Thank you. So Alex, a little bit of background I have on it. It's my understanding, and of course reading the packet, that the Air District doesn't really have an appetite for investing in bike share anymore at all. Is that accurate?
Well, I think that
I'm talking about financial appetite, not philosophical appetite.
Well, I think two things. I mean, they did approve some money for an additional expansion, 1.4 that's still remaining. I think that a year ago there was an action, I think, here and maybe before the Air Board that looked at, you know, again, maybe having MTC take the lead on the bike share expansion and then having the Air District be the lead on the EV infrastructure expansion. So Damien can speak to whether they have an appetite for putting more money into the program.
As folks may be aware, we've administered this program for the last couple of years for the region. Our board has put aside $3.6 million for additional investment. You know, lots of the points that you've brought up today, I think, are some of the things that we've talked to MTC about, you know, how we would expand this to other communities. In terms of air quality, the project itself is probably not one of our most cost-effective, but as a transportation solution, we think that with the density we're talking about, it could have greater value. I wouldn't presuppose to speak for our board of directors. We are going to bring this offer in front of them, and I think you've seen from the Air District over the years, we are committed to both bicycle sharing. We have a proposal for that $3.6 million to use it for bicycle sharing, and you'll see from us as well this year an additional commitment of up to $3.5 million for bicycle lanes and additional parking.
I'm not questioning your philosophical support or board support for this modality. What I'm trying to figure out is we got a contract coming, at least according to the current schedule, for an up or down vote May 27th, and I want to know if we disapprove that contract, is the Air District going to continue to invest in this program?
We currently have the funding that we have available for it. It would take board action. We have funding for it, we believe, for at least another year at its current size. It would take additional board action on behalf of our directors to provide additional funding to see it into the future. So
it's year to year, but that includes all of the current pilots,
That's correct.
Some of the current pilots.
That includes all the current pilots.
So if we do nothing, everything that is in existence today with 700 bikes continues.
Correct.
But not 7,000.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
I just want to add to that, yeah. Commissioner Cortese, just yeah. to be clear. So the money that we have right now for operations is CMAQ money that won't last forever.
No, it won't.
The CMAQ rules, this is federal money, actually change. So new CMAQ money, if we obligate it to bike share, actually can't be used to support operations. So the money that we have would, again, have expanded the system to our goal was 2,500 bikes under the public-funded model. But in terms of operating subsidy, as part of the strategic plan, we were going to need to work with the cities to come up with subsidy money because we didn't have money in the long term for that because the CMAQ money was not going to be eligible anymore. So whether or not the Air District would have wanted to support that, whether or not the CMAs or the local cities, but we were going to need to come and find up to $1.5 million to support operations in the longer term. So just to make sure it's clear that the 700, I don't think could have extended in perpetuity without some contribution from the locals to keep the operations going.
Or the Air District, right?
Or the Air District. Sorry.
That's what I'm trying to understand. What I'm trying to understand here is what are our actual alternatives, barring anything new like participation from the CMAs or the cities, what's going to be before us the 27th in reality? And it sounds like a rapidly diminishing pilot program that has 700 bikes in it and on a year-to-year basis may lose CMAQ funding and may lose Air District funding. There's nobody's assuring us that there's any funding beyond a year. That's what I'm hearing. Is that fair to say? I mean, if somebody is, I'd like to hear that. I'm hearing from you that you can't guarantee us we're going to have CMAQ funding.
Exactly.
And I'm hearing from the Air District, you can't speak for your board, so you can't guarantee us that the 700 pilot will continue beyond a year.
We do additionally have some membership revenue, which could extend it a little bit further, but that's essentially correct. The one thing I would say is, this is an offer. We've had other offers, I think, for the system, but this is a robust offer, and it's something that merits consideration. There are still lots of details that need to be worked out, though.
No, I appreciate that. And that was my, again, in terms of just fleshing out the alternative. So what else we have on the table is an unsolicited offer from Motivate to expand the program in certain areas at their cost, as I'm understanding it. What we don't know about then is whether there's the possibility of CMA and or city participation in areas that would like expansion that aren't included in the Motivate proposal. Is that, or do we know? I mean, we have letters, City of San Mateo is saying they really want to be part of the program, and I know VTA has expressed interest. I know my colleague here, Mr. Baker, was talking about the interest down there. And there's cities like Santa Clara that were never even part of the program that have at least conceptually changed their need. Around Levi Stadium, for example, there's no bike share, and VTA is not able to get people in and out of there. So what I'm wondering is, in between now and May 27th, can we MTC do the staff work to figure out whether or not there's appetite for fiscal participation from the CMAs in the various cities that have expressed interest?
Sure, we can certainly reach out to them. I think you're talking about the pilot cities and the proposed expansion cities, or are you talking about the whole region? I think it's a little easier to manage but before the end of May to sort of focus on the existing pilot cities and the San Mateo, which was proposed for expansion. Also, because I think in order to have that discussion, we really need to work out with Motivate what would be the cost if there's to be fiscal participation. I think it's easier for them to understand the cost of that as compared the further you get away from that. There's a lot of other factors, so it might be harder to you know, discuss a specific cost beyond the pilot cities.
So through the chair, if I can, you know, just suggest, I think that we are going to need that information given the discussion today. Otherwise, we're going to be trying to take up Motivate's offer, again, on an up or down vote without really knowing what the cost is for cities that Motivate is, even the pilot cities that Motivate has said could opt in. We wouldn't know the cost, whoever's going to pay for it, whether that's on a regional level or a local level. And I'm afraid that we're going to get hung up on that issue, and then we're going to run into deadlines here in terms of this transition that needs to take place. So that's why I'm asking the question. I think we need that information. I think that, in fairness, if we could at least get the information in terms of the pilots in cities that have cities or counties that have expressed interest directly, again, I'm not sure that we can just completely ignore them on May 27th if they said we're interested in opting in and we want to know what the cost is going to be. But perhaps that'll be on some sort of a per unit cost from Motivate. We won't know until you talk to them. But I would like that. I would suggest, I'm not a voting member of the committee, obviously, but I would hope that that direction would be part of any motion that's taken up to keep moving this.
I actually wrote down your comments, and I think to add on to that, rather than just looking at the fiscal participation by the pilot cities, we should also look at the potential for sponsorship and advertising, so perhaps those pilot cities would have people that would be paying for it, just like you're talking about in San Francisco and other places. So, it's sort of two-pronged. I wouldn't want them to just be stuck with having to pay for it when there may be opportunities from a Google or a Facebook or a, you know, Box or somebody. So I would put that as the third leg of that stool. Commissioner Luce.
Thank you. One thing I really like are things that really work, and I think we've got evidence that we've got something that works. It's been used in other communities. We've got a pilot test. We've got the numbers. We know what numbers work and where they work and where they don't work, and I think that's the value of having a pilot test, is to understand that before we enter into these sorts of things, and I think the evidence is there. We know where we need to go. I see this as a growing opportunity, that the five cities that have been identified have a great opportunity to be successful and expand. And I'm sure we'll learn from that. I'm sure we've learned already in those other communities. And I think that we probably need that discussion about, well, then what's next? Let's just assume we're successful in these five cities. As they grow and are successful, how do we then expand that? And I expect that Motivate's probably had that experience. They know how they bring in new areas and how they qualify people and how they work with communities that are trying to reach that threshold where they're viable. But I think as government, we've got to learn to stop swimming upstream against the current, because things that don't work just don't work. And so we need to come up with approaches that work so that they're viable and sustainable without significant subsidies. If there's other opportunities, other models, Facebook partnerships or something like that, then those, I'm sure, we would explore. But ultimately, they've got to work. And so I think what we've got here are systems that have been tested, that we've got data now that says they should work in these areas, and I think we need to proceed with that. But have the discussion about, well, but how about these other communities? How do we expand into those other communities that may be interested and ultimately may be viable? I think another important aspect, in addition to just the air quality, is the fact, there's a news article as we were driving in today talking about people have lost their license because of inability to pay their traffic fines, and ultimately how that has a spiral effect where they end up losing their jobs and sort of leads to a dead end of poverty. And this just seems like an opportunity to give an alternative to those who don't seem to be able to drive within the law on the road to still be able to get to work and maintain their income. So I think this has, I guess that's always true with any transit benefit, but this has some important benefits to reach those communities that currently aren't well reached, and I think that's something we shouldn't lose sight of.
Thank you, Commissioner Wirth. Then Commissioner Bates. Then
thank you, Madam Chair. Having followed the New York discussions about bike share in the New York Times, I can see the dynamics. And one of the realities was that my guess is there was a very robust process at the beginning of this of the Citibank proposal to identify where the services were actually going to be provided. And I guess that's where I look where we are right now. And I think as an example, we've heard a lot of discussion. First of all, I think it's a way to this public-private partnership is certainly an important way to be able to expand capacity. But I also think that our commission, MTC, has a responsibility to ensure, in fact, that there is geographic equity. And we have invested significant public dollars in this system. I think one of the reasons we have 27 transit agencies is that for that very same dynamic, is that you start in the center and then as people it moves out. And I think Commissioner Haggerty brought up some very good points about the opportunities we have in the suburban areas that, that haven't aren't included in this current proposal. So I really think that it's important for us to, as we're looking at this agreement, to ensure that there's an equal opportunity for the cities, especially cities. All of our cities are investing in priority development areas. They're putting their money, local and regional share of the money, into bike trails, bike pathways, that we have a way in for those communities to be able to participate. So really, you know, that there's a tremendous opportunity here, but I think that the next steps are going to be really critical, ensuring that this is in fact a fair arrangement for, you know, all the communities in the Bay Area that are interested in participating.
Commissioner Bates.
Thank you. Excuse me. So first of all, we should understand that Motivate is a company that's coming in because they believe that they can make a profit at some point. I mean, they're not doing this out of the goodness of their hearts. They believe that if you penetrate in this market, that this is the places where they have the greatest opportunity to succeed. And I think that's a very smart business decision for them to make. The communities in the East Bay that are being considered are those that I believe will succeed because, you know, we do have a great culture in Berkeley, as an example. Something like we're the fourth largest city in terms of numbers of people using bikes and getting transportation, commuting, so it's a natural to go there. Oakland's the same case, same with Emeryville. So it seems like those are smart business decisions, and this is not a slam dunk. I mean, this, you know, in terms of their success over time, they have to get sponsorships, they have to be able to pick up the bikes, move the bikes around, and it's not an easy thing. It's like you don't, Mr. Haggerty, you don't want to see the stations vacant. You want to always have, like, bikes available for people so that people can get bikes and drop bikes off. So it's a balance, and it's a really an incredible situation. I want to speak to the issue so I understand them. The pilots, when exactly do the pilots funding end, public funding end? And I'm talking about the cities that are obviously not included.
Right. Well, the pilot was supposed to end after a year, but obviously this August will be at year two. So you're asking exactly when the money would run out,
right,
in terms of operations if there's no more subsidy. And I think Damien said it would be about a year from now, roughly. So we could bring you back an exact date, but that's...
Okay, roughly a year. So the next question is Motivate. Do they have exclusive rights to just these five cities? Do they have the right, first right of refusal on other cities and other expansions? Does Motivate, in other words, if, like, say, Santa Clara and San Mateo and the counties decide they want to form another thing, does Motivate have the first right to operate that?
No.
Okay. And I'm really intrigued, but I would like staff to consider how we can take those cities that are in the pilot that are not going to be funded to figure out some way that they could organize themselves. And then I'm very intrigued by Chair's Tissier's idea of reaching out to some of these major corporations and see if they can't step up and actually initiate a pilot that could be separate from the balance that's happening with Motivate and the other parts of the area. I think that's a really, and I wish we could have staff to support that, to help them, you know, make those connections and try to work it out. The reason the Motivate's not going down there is because the ridership has not shown itself to be make it profitable. And once you have the culture, once you have the opportunity, I think we'd see more people. I hate to be nitpicking, but because I'm really happy that we're coming to Berkeley, But there are some issues that are still remaining, even with the sponsored sites. And the first one is the community of interest, of concern, excuse me. We know you're going to place them there, a large, supposedly 25%. But in Berkeley, the community of interest, because of the low-income nature of around the campus, that becomes, you know, satisfying that requirement. And that's, we want to make sure that we have equity. And so I'm hoping that before the contract gets worked out, the cities have some say in making sure that South and West Berkeley, which are really the areas where we do have the committee of concern, that there are low-income people who live here year-round, gets covered. The other thing is that I'm interested in the siting, where the siting goes. The cities need to have a role. The city's not just people coming along and say, this is where it's going to be. We have to work on the siting. And then the waivers, they're asking for waivers for permitting and you know, not paying any cost for loss of parking revenue. Those are issues that seem like they're nickel-dime issues, but they're not, really. When you spend a lot of staff time and when you have to, you know, you have to do permitting of where they go. So there needs to be some appreciation that the people need to step up and cover some of those costs. And then lastly, if you take away parking, you're taking away revenue. And I know Motivate in New York and other, you know, at least in New York City, has paid for the, you know, made up the difference in those issues. So I think those are, you know, sort of issues that do relate to these five pilots. But I want to say, as a person who was, you know, very anxious to see this happen and go forward, that I think that we have a really good proposal, but I do feel that we need to continue to invest and try to make this not just five cities, but try to figure out a way to expand and continue to work with communities to allow them to have the opportunity for bike share too. So I would strongly encourage both the Air District and MTC to put resources and money behind that.
Commissioner Campos and Commissioner Staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to begin by thanking the staff. I know that it's been a lot of work to get to this point and all of the community partners that have been a part of this process. It's certainly very exciting for all of us and certainly in San Francisco, given the number of additional bikes that will be brought to the city. It's very exciting. But I don't think, though, that it's as simple as simply getting more bikes to one particular area. As a San Franciscan whose husband works in San Mateo, I want to make sure that some of the issues that have been raised by my colleagues relative to that part of the region, that those issues are addressed. And I think that there is time between now and the time that the contract comes back to us to do that, especially for the cities that have been a part of the pilot that are not included going forward. I think that providing different, you know, creative opportunities is really important. I also want to explore another issue, which I don't think that we have really talked about. And again, I want to move forward with this, and it's very exciting. But I am weary about these public-private partnerships. There is a reason why we have a public transportation system and not a privately owned transportation system, because you lose a lot of control as a government entity. And when profit becomes the primary consideration for a private player, equity becomes a secondary part of the analysis. And so I am weary about going down this path of a private partnership. And it can be the best company in the world. It can be Mother Teresa running it. But at the end of the day, the revenue profit-making issue necessarily creates problems. And so I want to talk about Motivate. What else is out there in the market? Are there any other companies that could provide this service? I'm not a big fan of sole source contracts. I think that If indeed Motivate provides the best deal for the region, that will come through if you go through a competitive process. So if you can address that issue, because the justification for the sole source contract focuses on the benefits that are presented by this package, but it doesn't talk about those benefits relative to what else is out there.
So in terms of other vendors, operators, there isn't another entity that is providing more than 1,000 bikes in any of the cities. So that doesn't mean that somebody couldn't potentially come in and run a 7,000 bike system, but there really aren't any others in the market right now that are running bike share systems on this scale besides Motivate. So that's one, you know, important element. I guess the other thing, and we will have additional financials for the commission available for your May meeting. We should have something later this month. But I think in terms of, you know, having the, you know, the financial resources to do something along these lines, because this is a very capital intense upfront to be able to deliver this many bikes in 2.5 years, which is why the region itself, even with the monies that we can draw from on the federal side, we weren't going to be able to do anything on the order of this large. And we had committed an additional $16 million, and we were hoping to get to 2,500 bikes. So, you know, again, there isn't an operator that's running a system of this scale, and they're also, you know, related to that, another operator that has the kind of financial resources to be able to do kind of a large deployment, this sort of big bang approach as compared to, like, phasing it over many, many years, which has shown to not be as successful. So those were some important considerations, but we can certainly, you know, get back to you. It is, you know, we agree that it is often, you know, obviously doing a procurement. We think this approach, though. Sorry, I thought I was being loud. We can certainly get you some more information on this, but those were some of the primary considerations.
Well, I think that information is important, and I actually think that fact that they're the sort of the main and only player on this scale cuts both ways. Because it also means that we are creating a monopoly, and when that happens, it also gives you, as a region, as a jurisdiction, a lot less control. And so I am weary about an unelected board of directors somewhere figuring out what the right policy for any one of our cities should be. So I think that's important. The second point is that because it is a sole source contract, the contract itself becomes really critical. So one of the things that I'd like to know more about is what is the level of competency, for instance, when it comes to cultural diversity that this company has. And to the extent that they're the only game in town on this scale, what incentives or requirements will be included in the contract that actually ensure that they are providing service in a culturally competent way, because, you know, providing the service in some parts of the country is not the same as going into the Mission District or Chinatown. And so I'd be interested in learning more about that. I also want to know what the limitations are in terms of advertisement. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, how does that work? I mean, I'm not excited about people riding their, you know, Chevron bike to work today. You know, I mean, what are the limitations on that? How does that work?
So there's sort of two layers, I guess, of advertising. There would be the title sponsorship. So in New York, that City Bike is sort of the title sponsorship. So MTC would have approval over the title sponsor in consultation with the cities. In terms of sort of the secondary advertising that might be on a kiosk or something like that, that would definitely be subject to local restrictions on advertising. So Motivate would have to adhere to the local restrictions that exist in San Francisco or in Oakland or in Berkeley in those regards.
And do you have a sense of, in terms of what the terms of the contract would be and how termination of the contract would work? Do you have a sense of sort of what you're thinking about that at this point?
We have some general terms related to, you know, default, et cetera, but in terms of the exact legal language, I mean, we're still kind of working on that, so I'd probably be best if I got back to you on those details.
So, for instance, you know, I think that when you have a sole source contract, the length of the contract is really important. Is there a particular length of time that you're thinking about?
Yeah, the proposed term is long. It's 10 years, but it would revert to 5 years if Motivate doesn't meet the installation date requirements, and if they're in, you know, breach of contract, persistently missing the KPIs, etc. But the length of the contract, again, back to this point of someone who has the resources to do this, so the length of the contract obviously is important for them to be able to get title sponsors to be able to support the system. So,
great, thank you. Well, I think the point that I want to make is essentially I'm excited about this. I think it's important for us to move forward, but details are important, especially with a sole source contract. And so I look forward to getting those details and appreciate the work. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Schaaf?
Thank you. The word excited has been overused, so I will say that I am apoplectic with delight that BikeShare is coming to Oakland. 850 bikes, and I promise to ride one. So I think you gentlemen have heard loud and clear that we're excited about this, but we do want you to work something out with the three cities that were in the pilot program. You're smart guys. I'm confident that you can do that. And so I certainly would feel comfortable moving this forward today with the direction that the staff and Motivate work with the three cities to see if they can reach some mutually agreeable arrangement to continue. And I'm confident there's smart people at the table and that enough conversations haven't been had yet to see what that mutually acceptable agreement is. So I think you've heard that loud and clear, and I will just echo that. I just wanted to raise two quick things. One, you know, I'm actually a fan of public-private partnerships, but I do think it is fair for us to ask companies that we're engaging in partnerships in, whether or not they've considered becoming B Corps, beneficial corporations. So I would also ask that you go back to your attorneys and explore that. I think that would be a nice symbol that you are the kind of private partner that works well with the public. And then the second question I have for staff is, you've done a really good job of assuring me that you have the contract language around performance, but Lord knows we don't want to get to the point where we're actually relying on the contract. That means things have gone terribly, terribly wrong. And so I will also be looking at what kind of active monitoring resources we're going to put in place to assure that the performance is good and not just rely on the contract language, because that means it's too late. I know we had problems with performance issues with the pilot, and so that's why I'm particularly concerned about that aspect. But yay, bike share, and I'm excited to vote on this as soon as possible.
Okay, be sure to show up in May. Commissioner Weiner.
Yeah, just briefly, first of all, I want to associate myself with the bulk of Commissioner Schaaf's comments, and I think we have time between now and end of May. I think, and I think Commissioner Cortese made a very important point, just at least first knowing what the cost is going to be, because it's one thing to say to the current pilot cities, you can do it, and it has to be paid for somehow, but, you know, we need to know what the cost is, and so that's a very, very fair request. And then to explore what the funding options would be, and you know, Commissioner TCA had some good ideas around other sponsors on the peninsula who might be very excited to give their, for example, employees ways to get from Caltrain to their place of work and so forth. So from what I'm hearing, it sounds like there's a lot of support for this, but there's a desire to know what the expansion cost would be and what the paths are to get there, so that between now and May, people can make intelligent decisions and making sure that the region as a whole is being taken care of. So I guess with that, Madam Chair, if I could make a motion.
You can. I think one thing I'd just like to be sure of, and Commissioner Schaff mentioned it, to include though looking very hard at the pilot cities, and I would want to make sure we include San Mateo because they were part of the expansion with Oakland, Berkeley, and Emeryville, and they were the only ones that got left out. So it's a matter of really taking a hard look at the pilot program cities at this time as well.
So I guess then my motion would be to forward this to the full commission for May with direction to staff to report back ahead of time what the cost would be for expansion and then to look at what the options would be, what different alternatives are for funding it for the pilot cities plus San Mateo. So.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Quick question.
Yes.
This is Doreen Giacopini. I'm wondering if I could ask that before the we take action at the end of May that we get back from staff an understanding of what private organizations such as what we're talking about here, what their obligations are with regard to ADA and other accessibility laws.
I personally think that'd be prudent.
Yeah.
Commissioner Worth?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to confirm that when we're talking about expansion, we've got sort of, we're talking about really all the cities within the Bay Area that are interested in participating. I mean, to have those.
So I think, through the Chair?
Please.
That first of all, the in terms of the cost issues, that would apply, I think, anywhere. In terms of what is the cost if we're going to put 100 bikes in a new city or whatever it might be. But obviously, since we, in terms of an actual plan, we going beyond the pilot cities seems a little challenging because it's a little theoretical in terms of what cities might or might not work or might not be interested. So I think what I think trying to articulate is that we would know what the cost would be going forward, understanding that I don't think we even have some sort of global Bay Area plan in mind at this point.
Yeah, I think that makes sense in terms of number one, knowing what the costs could be, but also what sort of the next steps, what would be the provisions for cities that would want to participate. I think that having some of that framed out, recognizing that we at this point we know that there are cities that we're kind of waiting for the next round of the pilot that would want to be participating in the future, and I particularly think of the, you know, a lot of the East Bay cities, Alameda and Contra Costa counties, that would be interested in, you know, participating down the road as their infrastructure and community plans evolve. So, yeah.
So basically, what the process right. would be yeah. if at any point in time a city said we want to be part of it too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Commissioner Baker, did you want to add something?
Yeah, so I'm glad for that point. I mean, my city is surrounded on three sides by San Jose, so it's nice to have at least some opportunity for somebody to say in the future, let's talk about this. But I just wanted to clarify that the motion is going to be is asking staff to come back with more than just a price tag, but also some options for including them in the current program. It sounded like work with ways to include at least the pilot cities in the current program. Without reducing the overall bike, without restructuring the bike allocation as it's currently planned.
What the motion was to say what are the options, and the options I don't know what they will be. Obviously, there will be discussions, and you know, one option. You know, I don't think there's any intent to take bikes away from the current five cities, but I know one option that Commissioner Tissier mentioned was if there might be sponsors who want to help these cities come in, and so for just understanding what those options are, I don't know that everything would be worked out by then. Those are normally extended processes.
Okay. Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I apologize. And, I guess I would say to the committee members, I'm happy today. I don't have to vote, but I do get a shot as the chairman of the Mobile Source Committee and then on the 27th as a member of this commission. I can tell you I'm concerned about the motion today because, you know, we've talked a lot about everybody's excitement, an overused word, and we've talked a lot about communities that also want to be a part of this, that I still am not comfortable that this makes them any part of it, this motion makes them any part of it. And the other thing that concerns me is the fact that if we get extremely pregnant with a group like this that has a sole source contract And there's no protection for these little, or I will say the suburbs. I apologize if I'm referring to Stamford as a suburb. If that insults you, I will take that back and, you know, come up with some other acronym or some other word for it. But, you know, I see no protections. And they could be held hostage to a much higher cost down the road, and that's not being talked about. And I'm concerned about that. Because I will tell you that I just went over and confirmed it with Damien, but Alameda CTC has already put up money for bike share, and that was to help Oakland get going. And I was proud to do that, believe me, because I want to make sure that this program is a success. But, you know, I think Alameda CTC would be willing to even put more money towards it, but where's the protections for the smaller areas in Alameda County?
Commissioner Bates.
Yeah, I just want to speak to the motion. I don't see it that way. Because I think, first of all, we have a proposal that's before us. It's an excellent proposal. It's not perfect, but it's an excellent proposal. And we need to go forward with that. And then at the same time, we have these other areas that feel like they need to be able to explore their options. And I think that's what this motion does. This would give an opportunity for the pilot cities to explore how they might be able to operate. Hopefully they could maybe come together, form a consortium, and maybe they can find sponsorship themselves. They have a year to do that. And then it doesn't exclude, I hope, the opportunity for us to examine putting more public monies into other possibilities. But you have to have them come forward. They have to be real. And I don't think they're here today. What we have before us today is a really good proposal that needs to be approved, and then we need to make sure that we leave open in the future that, and speak very clearly to the fact that we're not saying it ends here, but we want to figure out ways in which these other places can, in fact, join, and maybe not with Motivate, but join and be able to provide bike share for their communities. So I think it's a good motion.
Tom, if I understood the motion, it's a little bit different than what you're saying. What I understand the motion to be, and I hope it is that one of the options is we look to see if the pilot cities can be included in this proposal. You know, they've brought a proposal forward. I'm saying that's wonderful, but it's not good enough. And my understanding of the motion, if I heard correctly, is one, we're going to look as to whether or not that can happen, and we're also going to look at what it would cost for any area, including our area, to get in if that doesn't get included. So you're really looking at everybody, but I think what I also heard is let's look a little bit harder at the pilot ones that have been in the mix and see if they actually could fit in this existing agreement instead of just taking it lock, stock, and barrel. If it doesn't, it might not. But I'm just saying I think what we're asking for between now and May is that you take a hard look at that and, you know, take a look at those ones that have, you know, have the scars from being in the pilot program and see if, in fact, they could fit in and let, you know, this company also maybe do some legwork in San Mateo County and see if there's some sponsors there that could actually, you know, step in and be part of their advertising and sponsorship so that those pilot cities can get included. So I think it's going to require some work between now and May. I don't think we just take this point blank and say, this is fine, it's wonderful, you know, everybody else gets it, and those that worked hard to do the pilot get nothing. I think it needs to be looked at, and then if it doesn't work, someone's got to tell us that, but at the same time, someone's got to work hard to see if they can make it work, is my perspective on the motion. Mr. Campos?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be supporting the motion. I think that Commissioner Haggerty is right in the sense that right now, today, those protections are not there for those jurisdictions, but I think that the way I see the motion is that there's a direction to staff to consider various options that could potentially provide those protections. And I think that if in the end the commission feels that those protections are not there and that some of these issues are not addressed, we have the opportunity to shoot it down. But I think that for the options to be explored, we need to give staff the authority to move forward. So it is with that in that spirit that I think it makes sense for us to move forward. And I trust the staff will do what they can to address the various issues that have been raised here today. Thank you.
Okay. Is the staff clear on the motion? I just want to make sure it's...
I'm clear on the direction and the information that you want from me, and I think it probably makes sense for if you move that to forward it to the commission, we could at least come back to the May admin committee with a report on some information, so you'll have that before in advance of the May commission meeting.
That would be helpful. I'm going to take one last comment. Commissioner Lewis.
And I just, you know, we talk about protection. Right now, the cities that aren't included in this have all the protection that there is because there's no exclusivity agreement for those cities. They have every option that's on the table, including the potential of eventually joining Motivate if certain criteria are met, and whatever that is, fundraising or otherwise. But, you know, what Motivate gets is the exclusivity agreement, and that's only applying to the cities that are being included in this. So I don't think we want to jump in too quickly saying we'll include us and we'll negotiate it later, because that, in fact, then means you are part of Motivate, whether you like it or not. And so I just, you know, to me, you've got five cities that meet the criteria that are going to be part of an exclusivity agreement, and that's what they're giving up as part of this process. I think we do need to explore what how other cities get to a point where they can have a similar agreement. But I don't, when it comes to protections, I think, again, the fact that they're not part of an exclusivity agreement means they have all the protections that they currently have.
Okay. Well, I think the key is the exploration between now and the next admin meeting, I think, will be helpful as to fleshing a lot of this out.
I promised, Madam Chair, 30 seconds. Well, I would only say that there's a Air District Committee meeting on the 23rd, so I would hope we're not shooting towards the admin committee of MTC, because this a lot of the people that sit here also sit on this Air District Committee, and I don't want to go through this again as the chairman of the committee. I hope we have some answers by the 23rd.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor, and we have a second, I believe. I forget who did the second. Oh, Bates. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. I think we gave you plenty, more than you ever cared to have, I'm sure. Well, thank you. That was very lively. Okay. Our next item is a monthly travel report. Eva Sun.
Good morning, Commissioners. I have the monthly travel report before you. I'm Eva Sun with the finance section. And in the month of February, there were no requests for international travel. And also for commissioner travel, there were four commissioners that traveled to Washington, D.C. in the month of March for the annual legislative meetings. And also the third item is there's a budget versus actual report for travel attached to your packet. And it's the actual is running behind the budget right now through the eighth month ending in February. And that concludes the report. Are there any questions?
Great. Thank you very much. That was for information only, unless there's any questions. Are there any other public comments, any other business before the committee? If not, we'll adjourn. Thank you.